Chapter 3, The Second Spirit.
When Scrooge woke up, he didn't know what time it was, but he knew that the next visit was near. So he decided to prepare himself for it. He didn't want to be frightened again when the second spirit arrived, so he opened the curtains of his bed and lay on the bed with his eyes and ears open, ready. When the bell struck one and nothing happened, he started trembling. He wasn't ready for this. He waited for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour, but no one appeared. Then he noticed that his bed was in the centre of a light that was coming from the next room. So he took courage and went to see. When Scrooge's hand touched the door, a strange voice called him by his name and asked him to enter. He did so. It was his room, but so different. It was full of plants, holly, mistletoe, and light. A bright fire was burning in the fireplace, and the floor was covered with all kinds of food and fruit. A happy giant was sitting on top of it all, as if on a sofa, and had a torch in his hand.
"Come in,"
exclaimed the ghost.
"I am the ghost of your Christmas present."
Scrooge, who was not as stubborn as before, went in slowly and looked at the spirit. He was wearing a simple green mantle, but his chest and feet were bare. His dark brown hair was long and curly. His eyes were bright, and his voice and face were happy.
"Spirit, take me where you want. I learnt a lesson yesterday, and I want to learn another today,"
said Scrooge.
"Touch my mantle,"
replied the ghost. Scrooge touched it, and suddenly everything disappeared. The food, the fire, the bed, everything. They were in the city streets on Christmas morning. The streets were covered with dirty ice, snow, and mud. The sky was grey and it was foggy. The weather and the town didn't look good, but the people were happy. Everybody was smiling, cleaning the snow from their houses, throwing snowballs at each other, and running to finish their last errands. The shops were full of delicious fruit, cakes, and bread. Soon, the church bell called everybody to church, and hundreds of people happily went, filling the streets on their way. While Scrooge and the spirit were walking, sometimes the giant sprinkled some angry men with his torch, and soon these men became happy. He explained to Scrooge that he liked helping people, especially poor people, because they needed it more than others. After some time, the giant took Scrooge to the house of his clerk, Bob Cratchit. Inside, Bob's wife, daughters and sons were wearing their poor but best clothes. They were preparing their Christmas lunch with love and joy. Martha, their eldest daughter, arrived from work and hid herself. She wanted to surprise her father and her brother, Tiny Tim, who were coming home. They arrived, found Martha, laughed, and everyone was happy. Mr. Cratchit's son, Tiny Tim, walked with a crutch and had an iron frame around his legs. So his brothers and sisters helped him to sit down in the other room.
"Was he a good boy?"
asked the mother.
"As good as gold. Sometimes he sits all alone and sad. But don't worry, he's growing strong,"
said Bob, almost to convince himself. They finished preparing their lunch together. They mashed the potatoes, they mixed the apple sauce, laid the table, took the chairs, and at last they all sat down. The goose was welcomed with many hoorays, as it was very rare for them to eat meat. Everybody admired its taste and sweetness. Then Mrs. Cratchit left and went to get the dessert. Proudly, she carried it into the room, and no one thought that it was too small for their large family. On the contrary, everybody said something wonderful about it. When the dinner ended and the table was cleared, they all sat around Mr. Cratchit and the fire. Small, weak, Tiny Tim was next to his father, who looked constantly at him because he was afraid that something could happen to his dear son.
"A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us," said Bob.
"God bless us, everyone,"
echoed the rest of the family.
"Spirit,"
said Scrooge,
"tell me if Tiny Tim will live, please."
"I see an empty chair and a single crutch next to the fire. If things don't change, the child will die,"
replied the ghost.
"No, no,"
said Scrooge.
"Oh, no, kind spirit. Say that he will live."
"Why? After all, if there are fewer poor people in the world, there are fewer problems for us, right?"
Scrooge heard his own words of the day before and was ashamed. Soon after, he heard his name and lifted his head.
"A toast to Mr. Scrooge. He made this party possible," said Bob.
"It really is Christmas Day if we toast that horrible, bad, cold and stingy man. Yes, you know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you,"
was his wife's reply.
"My dear, it's Christmas Day,"
answered Bob. And they all drank to Scrooge's health. But this time there was no feeling in their toast. For 5 minutes, the atmosphere was a little sadder than before. Then they all chatted about Martha's hard job and about a possible job for Peter. After that, they sang and drank. They weren't a special family. They weren't well dressed, and they were poor. But they loved each other and were happy and grateful. So when the giant took him away, Scrooge was still looking at them, at Tiny Tim in particular. It was now almost dark, and it was snowing. Scrooge and the spirit walked along the streets, where the atmosphere was wonderful. Brothers, sisters, friends, neighbours, everybody was going to meet somebody. The giant continued sprinkling his light, joy and happiness. The people laughed and smiled. After some time, they were standing on a desolate and deserted moor, covered with ice and darkness.
"What place is this?"
asked Scrooge.
"A place where miners live,"
answered the spirit. The ghost then took Scrooge with him, past the door of some houses, and then far away, over the sea, to an island, past a lighthouse, and to a ship. Everywhere they went, they could hear good thoughts, nice feelings, and kind words from every woman, child, or man they saw. Then a hearty laugh surprised Scrooge. It was his nephew, and Scrooge saw that now he was in a bright room. The spirit was smiling and looking happily at Fred, at his beautiful wife, and their friends. They were laughing as heartily as him.
"Ha ha! He said that Christmas is rubbish, and he believed it too,"
his nephew was saying.
"Well, that's his problem, Fred,"
replied his wife.
"And he's so rich. That's worse. You always tell me that he's very rich, right?"
"He is, my dear, but money is useless to him,"
said Scrooge's nephew.
"He does nothing with it. He doesn't use it. He doesn't do any good with it."
"I have no patience with him,"
added his wife, and all the friends agreed.
"Oh, I have,"
said Fred.
"I'm sorry for him. I can't get angry with him, but he is the only one who can live with his bad character.
While Fred was speaking, his friends and relatives were listening and watching their friend Topper. He was timidly courting Fred's wife's sister.
Go on, Fred. Finish what you were saying. You never finish what you begin to say. Come on. You know that Scrooge is a ridiculous old man,
said Fred's wife.
I was only saying that if he doesn't like us, and if he doesn't want to come with us, well, I think that he is simply missing some pleasant moments. And he certainly can't find them in his dark office or his old rooms at home. I pity him. That's why every year I ask him to come. I want to give him a chance to think better of Christmas.
After that, Fred's wife played some nice music. Scrooge listened and started thinking about his past and present and what was happening to him. But the party didn't stop there. Fred, his wife, and his friends started playing. Every game was an excuse for laughing, being happy, and for Topper for continuing to court his lady. Scrooge played with them. He answered the questions correctly. He guessed almost every mysterious word. He forgot why he was there. He didn't want to leave, and he asked the spirit to stay for one more game. It was a game called Yes and No. Fred had to think of something, and the others had to guess what it was. They had to ask questions, and Fred could only answer yes or no. They started. From the questions and answers, they learned that it was an animal, a wild, unpleasant animal. It sometimes growled. It lived in London. It walked in the streets. It didn't live on a farm. It was not a horse, a cat, a sheep, a hen, or a cat, or a dog. Fred was laughing, and at every question he laughed more and more.
Oh, I know! I know what it is!
Exclaimed Topper's lady.
It's your Uncle Fred, Uncle Scrooge!
Indeed it was, and everybody laughed. Finally, Fred suggested a toast.
To Uncle Scrooge! We laughed at him so much tonight! And Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man!
To Uncle Scrooge!
They all repeated. Scrooge was now so happy that he'd wanted to thank them, but he had no time. The ghost took him away to visit many other places. Happiness was in every place they visited, among the sick, the poor, the sad, prisoners. The giant sprinkled everyone. It was a long night, and when Scrooge noticed that the ghost was becoming older and that his hair was becoming white, he asked,
Is your life so short?
My life here ends tonight, at midnight. It's nearly time.
The clock struck 11:45 at that moment. Then Scrooge noticed something under the mantle of the giant.
What is that?
The spirit showed him two children, a boy and a girl. But they were miserable, horrible and dirty. They looked like monsters. Scrooge was frightened.
Are they yours?
He asked timidly.
They are man's children, but they come to me,
answered the ghost.
They are ignorance and poverty.
Don't they have a place to go to?
Aren't there any prisons? And the workhouses?
Replied the spirit, again using Scrooge's words of the day before. The bell struck 12. Scrooge looked for the ghost, but he couldn't see it. Then he remembered Marley's prediction, turned his head, and saw a solemn ghost with a mantle and a hood coming to him in a mist.